You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Took a look down a westbound road, right away I made my choice. Headed out to my big two-wheeler, I was tired of my own voice. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Axe to Grind. I think this is an overtime episode where we're just going to get into the spiciest, I guess.
Overtime.
What was the actual requirement here, Bob? What did you put out in the world for people to respond with? What was the prompt?
The prompt was anonymous questions. The questions you want to ask but don't want your name on.
Oh, okay.
So what ends up is you get a lot of spice. Now, we also have a good mixed bag. But yesterday, I think it was sort of like the engine warming up. It was just kind of things getting started. So today, we're going to get a few much hotter ones.
Oh, okay. We going to get in trouble? How idiot shit does this get?
Oh, we got full idiot shit. However, you know what we're really good at? Tom, what are we good at?
Dodging bullshit.
Yeah.
So dodging things well.
Yeah, we're going to dodge. We're going to address there's one that I am going to tiptoe through the tulips on. But the rest we're going to bleep or hit. And there's a couple we're going to square up with. So let's fucking do this.
All right, hit me.
Also, before we get into it, big shout out to all our sponsors, to Live a Lie Records, Closed Casket Activities, Run for Cover, Death Wish Inc. We love them. It's overtime. Please support these guys for supporting us. If it wasn't for them, we definitely wouldn't be able to do overtime stuff. It allows us to do what we do, which I think helps people do what they do. And yo, you know what? If it's a record, go get some records. If it's not records, get some gear. Do that. That'll make us happy. And enough said.
Get a sweatshirt to sit around the house on.
Yeah, man. Be comfortable. It's a mixed temperature. Sweatshirt's a nice feel right now.
They got sweatpants too.
I like that.
Okay. You know, if I go out on too far on a ledge, as you caught before we started, I'm in a weird mood today. So if I get us in extra trouble, you just got to stop me.
Yeah, we will. We'll get you. We'll go third eye blind on that. Step back from that ledge, my friend. All right.
Thank you.
I'll hit these all together. Well, there's two. They're kind of both sides of the coin, I kind of assume. The first is opinions on One Life Crew. And then from someone else, four questions later, how the fuck was One Life Crew ever big? So we can do all that. Let's
sure.
Start.
Number
big
one.
Is a very...
They were never
correct.
Yeah, we're all jumping on the same part of this at the same time.
No.
Tom, go in.
No, having been around for all of it, I never saw them in New York because they couldn't come here. But they were never big. They were infamous for like a summer. Or maybe it was whatever it was. Like that record came out, and quite honestly, if you listen to the record, there's definitely shitty stuff on there. They're idiots. If I mean, they've kind of bought into it since then.
I think there's some members who lean all the way in.
Like
me and
Steve is definitely like, oh look, it's funny. I'm like a Trump guy. Like he seems like a fucking moron. But like,
yes,
that you know. If you're a hardcore kid and you put on that like that intro, you're like, all right, I might like this. Then they get sketchy as fuck. Then they have a song about unity. Then they have stuff about not being racist. So I don't know what the fuck their deal is, but they were never big.
No, I don't know. I think during their active period, you definitely nailed it. They were much more notorious or infamous than they were big. That record didn't properly come out, as the legend goes. You know, Victory put it out. Then there was some crazy bullshit that you can find. There's whole like YouTube videos about it from
like Tony wrote a letter like kind of dismissing them, but like, my man, you don't listen to this record before you pressed it.
Nah. You know what? He might not have, but
someone did.
Someone did. So all that said, and feel both of you if you want to expand even more, but they were never big. That record was given this weird kind of like, yo, but tracks, you know?
And I've been hearing this for decades.
Right. And to be honest, I went back and listened to it. There's definitely some riffs. Like, they've got some guitar stuff going on. But tracks, it just was built up. I think that we're getting one of those stews where there's some decent riffs, there's some stuff, but a lot of it's built on the fact that it's that and these guys were like bad boys. So people kind of were brought to it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it. Look, everybody in the sound of my voice that's ever listened to a single episode knows that if this was hot, I'd be fucking backing it to the hilt. But I revisited it not long ago. This does not thrill me. I totally get where if you like that that intersection of Clevo and New York, that this would like make sense to you and you'd like it. But I don't think that this is anything. This is maybe second rate, not great, or second rate, still great. I don't know. Like it's fine.
Not too great. Yeah.
It's second rate, not too great. It's not going to hurt you to listen to. I'll say that. But it's there's no reason to seek it out. And no, it was never big. It was just a thing people talked about. People love to talk about shit. Everybody. There was a demo that we all know that was fucking a thing that people talked about for fucking a summer. It just happens.
And this one, if we have to be real, the inflammatory nature of some of the lyrical content, maybe some of it is real beliefs.
Right. But oh, kind of trolling.
Oh, yeah.
Full. Yeah, like so trolled. And it sucks now because like the newer version of that band, there's two dudes in it that I like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not Cleveland dudes. You know what I mean? Like Pennsylvania dudes that I'm like, oh, these guys are nice. You know,
so that's the opinions on One Life Crew in general. I mean, I think it's shock for shock's sake. You know what I mean? Like, it's the equivalent of being like, man, you know, Fox News sucks, but that one program brings some fire. It's got some interesting opinions. You know,
right? I'm reading it now. Apparently, the story that Victory gave was that they broke up. They dropped them from the label after that big fight at the Cleveland Hardcore Fest.
Yes,
which is like YouTube like lore. Yep. Pat, you've seen that, right?
Yep.
Victory's stance remains that they do not condone violence. Victory Records had 1,000 postcards printed explaining their decision and mailed them out to their customers. Allegedly, all remaining copies of Crime Ridden Society and cassette, CD, and vinyl were destroyed, making it a very sought-after album in collector's circles.
Oh, okay, one way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's the one that we're going to not touch, but we'll talk about this. Is blank, 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 a sex offender? Folks,
you know what? I'll just go with yes because all the information provided was so clear.
Yeah, this one, you know, we got an email very early on, and it was very impassioned. And we do our best to respond to all the emails and all that fun shit. But they were like, "Hey, this blank person from a band from the past 40 years." I heard bad things about him, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how to feel. And it was real impassioned. Like it was, I could tell the person was thinking earnest about it and going through a thing. Yeah, they were going through a thing. And I said, look, this is not my place. And this is one, most of the emails I throw all three names on. But when it comes to emails like this, I throw my name on because I don't want to sign your guys' names on shit like this. But I said, look, I don't want to tell you what to think, and I certainly don't believe you should just believe everything you hear. However, with this specific case, there's a lot of information that circulates out there. And you can read and you can think about it and you can choose for yourself what how you feel. And the only thing I can really say beyond look at stuff yourself, think for yourself, is we don't have actual information on a lot of this stuff. And it's where it gets to be in this the ugly side of lore and gossip and like hearsay. And, you know, ain't nobody's job on this podcast to speculate in that way.
Yeah.
No, I jumped out for a dude that I do not know on any level. And if I'm going to fancy a guess, we all have a negative feeling on. But I jumped out the other day because in a Insta live that I was doing, the person I was doing it with was talking real loose about somebody that I wasn't there. I wasn't there, and neither was he. And so while I was quick to say, look, I don't have any stock in this person that we're talking about. I don't know this person. I don't, based on what I've heard, I don't care to know this person. But it's important for me to say, not for legal reasons, fuck it. But like, right. It's important for me to say, if I stacked up all the shit that I ever heard about every single living fucking person that's been around for more than fucking 5 years in hardcore, it would go to the moon. I could fucking ride it to the moon. It's just, and look, to some of you, that's going to mean, wow, every single person in hardcore is a sex predator or some shit. Maybe, but I think more likely is that when you're in a closed community, people can get mad vengeful. You might remember from high school that weirdly, all the girls that slept with other girls' boyfriends suddenly had herpes. The rumor was always that girl's got herpes. Who do you think was saying that? You know what I mean? Like it's somebody that was angry about something else. So
I went to a boys' school. I don't know anything about that.
I don't know what the fucking rumors are there, but what I'm saying is the pretty girls in high school. Yeah, that's true. I could probably guess the pretty girls in high school all had rumors on them, all of them. And do I think now that I'm a fucking adult, do I think that those rumors were true? No, I think that a lot of those rumors were fucking vicious bullshit that somebody fucking laid at somebody else's fucking feet for no good reason other than being mad. So when you're in these like kind of like very insular closed communities, sometimes, firstly, there's a game of telephone. And secondly, sometimes people say a thing out of anger or they say a thing, blah, blah, blah. And it takes on a life of its own. So I'm always quick to tell the story. There's a guy I know that's got brain damage from a thing that was not provably not true. And now he walks around with brain damage. And if you don't think that colors my opinion of how we should all be talking about each other, you're out of your fucking mind.
Preach. Let's keep that energy, folks. Would you rather be stuck on an island with a banger EP or a lot of mediocre LPs?
Give me the banger.
A four song.
That's a long time to be on that fucking island with four songs.
That's what I'm saying.
But
you can hear like inside out every day. You're only gonna listen to the four good songs in the LP anyway.
Well, there's a lot of mediocre LPs.
Oh, so you only get to have one banger,
one EP, like let's say like the Negative Approach 7-inch, or
like 30 decent,
30. Mediocre. So we'll say fives, you know, 5 of 10 records.
I mean, that's most.
Right. And they, you know, if you do the pure math and say a mediocre record has one good song, well, I'm getting 30 over 10.
No, that makes sense. I would probably go LPs now that I'm thinking about it.
I'm still going EP. Hopefully those four songs are so great that I can pick those apart and think about those. I think that there might be something discouraging about being totally isolated with nothing but mediocrity. Yeah.
How long in isolation does mediocrity become not that bad?
How long have we been locked in?
Yeah, the huck.
That's stuck on an island. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, that's
30 days.
stuck on an island. Let's say it's, we'll say it's not full on Castaway, but it's going to be 18 months.
Mm. I'm going to go, I'm still going the EP and I'm still saying, but as regarding, like, if I had a year of isolation, maybe the more content would just, maybe my brain needs the stimulation. I'm just thinking of very mediocre. I don't want to use any names. I'm thinking of very mediocre hardcore LPs from the last 2 years. And if I had to listen to them, I bet I'd get fucking mad. You know what I mean? I bet I'd be like, wow, this band really blew it. Starting with track 5. You know what I mean? This just all fell as shit.
Yeah. The Axe to Grind episodes when you got back from the island stay would be vitriolous.
Big mad.
All right. Are there any joke songs that aren't the worst song on a record?
No.
Penny Reed.
I was going to say Murphy's Law, but do they have any songs that are straight serious? Yeah, they kind of do.
But I
think that if you've got like 4 joke songs on a record, it's no longer the joke song.
Oh, is Lady of the Lake on the second DYS LP? No, I think that's on Brotherhood. Do you know what I'm talking about, guys?
Yeah.
So, Pat, if you're not familiar, there's a weird on DYS Brotherhood. I believe it's on Brotherhood. They do a whole kind of like towards the end of it, like the Lady of the Lake, and there's a weird fake accent, and it's basically talking about drawing Excalibur in a spoken word form. It's really, I guess it's a joke. But that probably is the worst song. If it was on the second LP, it would definitely not be the worst song. So, man, that's tough. Typically, the joke song is the worst song on the LP.
Sure.
Descendants straight up like skewer records for me because I'm like, oh, this is a cool song. Oh, it's the fart song.
I hate those. Like Enjoy or any of those. Van.
The record Enjoy is excellent. It's like really good, right? But it's got
song Enjoy. No, I'm hard pass.
So if there's anyone who thinks a hardcore band's jokes, here's an example. And I think that most people are in this. Floor Punch, Let It Ride. Not fully a joke song.
No, lighthearted.
Significantly the most lighthearted song in their catalog. And one of their bigger live songs. And probably a lot of people's favorite song off the record. I know multiple people who say that's their favorite song. So
that's definitely their most popular song. Like if you say Floor Punch to somebody.
Yeah,
if they're not,
like, or it's clear. It's like Intro or Clear. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. If you go like Floor Punch, they'll be like going AC Saturday night. Everyone knows that.
Yep. So there's your answer. Let It Ride is not the worst song on the record. So, all right, this is a tough one. So let's all take it kind of serious. Why do people like Earth Crisis? Let me answer first.
I'm not going to validate this nonsense.
No, you got to. Take it earnestly. You are a fan. As a non-fan, they essentially were a movement. Whether you like their music or not, there were people whose entire basis in hardcore comes right off the back of Earth Crisis. They changed a lot of perspectives on like straight edge veganism, that stuff for sure. Brought it to a much larger space, but also musically certainly pushed the genre into a different space and a place where more metallic leanings weren't just like kind of like this byproduct, but also something that became an entryway. Like I have a feeling there were people who Earth Crisis became an entry drug from metal in the mid 90s.
For sure.
In a way that like the New Age catalog just couldn't have done. You know,
sure. I mean, number one, you can get an Impossible Burger at Burger King because of Earth Crisis. There's
yes.
a true line that is demonstrably true that you can go into your local Wegmans and there's 4 freezers full of vegan stuff demonstrably because of Earth Crisis and because of hardcore kids in general. I think if you think like, you know, say from like 94 to like 99, Earth Crisis was the standard. And then the bands like Four Punch and In My Eyes were like the outliers almost for a minute.
That's not, yeah, I don't, yeah. That's,
you know what I mean? Like how crazy is that? Like, hardcore wasn't the usual. Like I remember when those bands first started, like, you know, even 10 Yard Fight before that, like it was kind of like, oh shit, like a throwback. Like old that was not standard.
Here's the old school bands.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they would play with Earth Crisis. They would play with all these other bands. But like for a while, Earth Crisis is a style of music. It's kind of like that was hardcore and everything else is sort of like bouncing off of it.
And if think, you want the yeah. late 90s youth crew kind of thing, all the Floor Punch, all more straightforward stuff, mm-hmm. is a reaction to Earth.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah, of course. And I think, you know, it's All Out War. Fanboys like Patrick and I love it just because we love it. Firestorm is a kind of a game changer in terms of sound and everything. But like Destroy the Machines is a legitimately like great heavy record. Like Firestorm is not a fucking... It's a classic, but it's not anything insane. But like, no. I feel like Destroy the Machines is really a game, like a standout record for heavy music.
Yeah, I would say that if this person, I don't know who, obviously it's anonymous, but if this person values integrity but not Earth Crisis, I would tell them to expand their palette a little bit. And if they're being turned off by kind of all the bullshit around Earth Crisis, then I get that. But there is music underneath. So regarding the music, which everything that both of you all said is true about a movement and how it's influenced lives. But that might not matter to a 22-year-old now where all of his friends were born vegan. And none of this really resonates. Veganism, like I said, like, you know, all the respect in the world to sect, but I'm the only fucking person who cares. You know what I mean? Like, it's like veganism is not a fucking the hot button issue. It doesn't light those fucking fires right now. And in part because of Earth Crisis and because they've been around forever. But I'm going to say that even if you just boil it down to the music, I think it is a mistake, as some people do, to listen to Earth Crisis and say, this is metal for idiots, and dismiss it. I think it's fine to say this is metal for idiots because you're not wrong, but I think it's wrong to dismiss it because then you are tossing the baby out with the bathwater and you're throwing away other great music. Like Tom gets big mad at me whenever I say, fuck, who have I shit on, Tom? Undertow. So I describe Undertow as being able to be played by a lobster. And Tom gets mad at me because we both really love the band, but I sound like I'm shitting on them. But yo, Undertow is not clever. It's just great at what it is. And sometimes that's all there is to it. You know what I mean? So Earth Crisis, yeah. I would never try to convince somebody that Earth Crisis are brilliant players or the cleverest musicians who ever walked the earth. But I would say that at their best, they had a chemistry that fully worked and they caught a moment that was meaningful.
Yeah. And I mean, I can opine and talk about their music and what I think of as their failings with it. However, there's no denying that not only were they meaningful and impactful, but their music was something that caught with a lot of people and stuck with a lot of people and has continued to. Like, this isn't something where it was like, oh yeah, people who saw them in 95 still vouch for it. It's like, no, there's people who weren't born till 7 years later who were fucking with Earth Crisis. So
for sure.
All right. This is another one where let's all take a deep breath because I think it's interesting. Is Inside Out that good? Or does the lore of having one EP affect people's perception?
Both.
But yeah, both.
Totally.
Fully. If they put out an LP, it might stink, and then we might not feel as strongly about the band in general. We might just feel strongly about the EP, but because the output is so limited, we have nothing but good feelings. You know what I mean? Nothing but good feelings. So yeah, both.
Oh, we're talking about Inside Out California. Shit. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Not the Inside Out of New York.
You shop at the Beatus Malls. No, everything Patrick said exactly. And what Tom said, both. It's both. They are like so many things. The myth is so much better than the reality. Who knows what an Inside Out LP would sound like? Could be really cool. We've talked about it on here before. Could have sucked. They could have waited a year too long. The songs just couldn't have been as good. They might have tried to take a different direction. But that EP, man, all the news that's fit to print is fucking great. When's the last time either of you revisited the Inside Out 7-inch, the EP?
Probably about a month ago.
Longer for me, maybe 3 months.
I mean, still, it's a 30-year-old record that we've listened to in the last 3 months. Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I've certainly listened to it in the last 6 months at least. There's still stuff that when I listen to it, I pick up on things and really like. So I think that's a good testament. So, you know, six songs or whatever it is, I guess, including whatever the CD tracks.
Yep.
They're doing really cool stuff, and the lore of it, all that is neat. I think there's a lot of people who are drawn to the Zach part, but I also think it's a really influential sonic record for hardcore. So
100%.
Okay. Is it true Kev One from Bulldoze bludgeoned a dude to death at CBGB's with a mic stand? I don't know, but I don't think so.
I think I would have heard more of that.
I've heard a good handful of Kev One stories. I saw that gentleman do things that were both very visually shocking.
Compelling.
Yes, compelling, striking, any of that. But yeah, I don't think he bludgeoned a dude to death at CBGB's with a mic stand.
No.
At least not during operating hours.
That would be a hard conspiracy to keep under wraps. I've seen...
I think Philly might have been a little mad. They've canceled shows for less.
Yeah, I've seen people very seriously hurt at shows, and the perpetrator, of course, nobody saw nothing. But I think when we get to murder, I think something would have emerged by now.
Murder by mic stand?
Yeah, I think so. Oof.
Okay. Yeah, I told you, we get a little spice mixed in here.
Yeah, I don't love those, though.
Yeah, no.
Like, I'm not trying to put anybody on blast.
No. Let me take the heat. Favorite Youth Attack band? We're going to do a little Youth Attack activity. I'm going to run through their discography stuff. Not all of it. There's an awful lot, but the stuff that I can bring to mind. And if you have a feeling, positive or negative, say it. Charles Bronson.
Pretty great.
Yeah. Cool. And, you know, not quite One Life Crew in the style of like they were more infamous than they were big, but musically it's fun. Did the thing. Patrick, meh.
I don't think it holds up very well.
Sure. Aerosols?
Never.
It's got a lot of fans. People like it.
The Bad Form. Did either of you catch this band?
Not a clue.
Okay, The Bad Form. I'll go 30 seconds on this. Featured a guy from North Jersey, Avi, who was a good friend who paid me a floor punch on gold to drive his car across the country in 2002. And wrote me a really good letter with it. So that was cool. Shout out, Avi. The 7-inch that they did, they were kind of like going for this weird, what if the MC5 were a punk band with hardcore tendencies in 2001? The record I'll tell you this, the record that Youth Attack put out is fine. They did a live on WSOU set that is fucking brilliant and awesome. Like, I mean this in all sincerity. It's one of the things that I...
Where can I find that?
It's on the SOU site on the archive where you can find all of the live sets. I'll link you. It is fucking great. It's got this like fervent energy and aggression where it's like, at this point, these dudes live ripping the balls off people. Like, these are the band. This is a band who had kind of jangle, but aggressive jangle. And like I know the description, MC5 done by punk dudes in 2001, punk and hardcore dudes. It's not what you might think it is. It's so much more aggressive and cool. Virgin Mega Whore doesn't do shit for me. Holy Molar doesn't do shit, for me. Yeah.
Nope.
Charm City Suicide's an actually good live band, but the recordings never did shit for me. The Oath.
Don't recall them at all.
Yeah. The Oath were
cool. The Oath were not bad.
Live experience at the time. Yep. The Repos?
That's a Tony Erba band, isn't it?
No, Repos were Chicago guys.
Oh, they were Clevo.
No, that's
H100s.
Yes, the Repos are a few years later. A lot of love for them. I haven't revisited at the time. They were hot. I'm trying to skip through here. Nasty Skins with the Z. Meh. Surf Nazis Must Die. There's people who really fuck with that. Man, there's a lot. There's a lot. I'm halfway through here. Salvation from Philly, actually pretty good. Okay, here we go. Cult Ritual. Failure.
Is that
Salvation.
The metal one?
No, Salvation was Kyle Kimball, who was in Let Down and Mother of Mercy, and now is in Nothing and Night Sins.
Oh, right, so sure.
It's pretty good. Cult Ritual. Hello. Vile Gash. Here's where we're getting into the thing. Nazi Dust.
Yeah.
Nazi Dust, Squirm, Raw Nerve.
We're full Loft Punk era.
Right. And there's of this stuff, I fucked with Salvation. I've gone back and listened to Hoax, and it's pretty good. Like, it's actually stands up pretty well. But there's a lot of this stuff that either was just lost on me or I just didn't vibe on. Squirm, for example, musically, it was cool, but I saw him live, ironically enough, at 538 Johnson or whatever it is, and was not feeling the vibe. So there's that, but on the other side, okay, and they're more modern stuff, Civilized. I really like that record, Cadaver Dog. A lot of this stuff that he's doing out of Denver right now is awesome. City Hunter was cool. There's that mid era where I think it's the jump on point for so many people that just doesn't throw me.
Yeah, it's the jump off the building era for Patrick.
Okay.
I'll beat you to the ground.
All right. Well, this is interesting. Made some big mistakes. Can you recommend bands or albums with themes of regret and growth?
I don't know about albums. Yeah, Blacklisted. Here's one that I think Blacklisted does regret very well.
Yes.
Here's one that I think doesn't get the credit it deserves, but Slapshot. Made the same mistake. There's some late era Slapshot. For anybody that I know that I'm like on one with Slapshot and I talk about it too much, but like the part of the reason that I love both Blacklisted and Slapshot is because after Heavier Than Heaven, there's no mistaking Blacklisted as a thing where you should listen to the lyrics and that there is more going on here. But Slapshot, many people just kind of have a surface read of and have always had a surface read of, but it doesn't take much digging to get into how Slapshot is really like one man's 35 year journey through who he is. And he's not always in love with himself. And it's really like, there's not great records, but it's really a ride, and regret factors strongly in a lot of these fucking records. So I would urge everybody to check out, pick any Slapshot record after the cocky young period, and you're going to find some, I could have done that better. You know,
guys, they're doing a 35th anniversary 2 days in Boston.
Yeah.
Is that true?
September.
They're doing an anniversary tour in September.
19th.
Shows. Yeah. 18th and 19th or 19th, 20th.
Yep. Something like that.
Wow. Did I guess right at 35 years? Wow.
Good job.
If I'm not on tour, I would go to that for sure.
No one's going to be on tour, so you can definitely go to that.
Yeah, that's true. Tom, go.
Fiddlehead.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good.
That's a growth record. Mm-hmm.
A lot of loss in there.
Yeah.
I would also say there's a couple fragments to this. Like, what is your goal? What are you feeling? Are you trying to, like submerge yourself in this and then kind of, like, free yourself? I might suggest there's a reflectiveness in the both the Embrace and Rites of Spring records. Embrace particularly, because I think
that may not hit for a younger person.
Well, it may. It just depends on what lean they are. We don't know. But because the other side of what I'm going to say is, if you're really, or if you're going a different way and you just want to, like, get your fucking feet under you, Hatebreed, Perseverance, you know, that's more on the growth side, but motivational, you know, like just get your ass in gear. And I know those are kind of big pendulums, but there's a lot of interesting look at, like, the idea of regret and what people, the, like, that might be one of the lyrical strong suits of a lot of good hardcore records. When they can kind of look at that and go, man, I fucked up, but I got back up, you know?
That little shit's out the window.
You got it. All right. Oh, God.
Do you think Bob does it a lot and we don't catch them half the time?
I do.
Do I catch them most
you
of the
catch
time?
A lot of them. You both catch them a lot. But I do it quite a bit. There's a lot of weird ones. So I'll do a count at some point.
He's doing like our cred check. He's like,
no, because I know it's more like, it's the same way. I think all three of us do that shit a little bit. It's sort of,
Easter egg.
Yeah. You know, a wink and a nod in the land that we stand on is ours. You know what I mean? what's up? This is a tough one, and you can check the time if you'd like. What's up with Dwid being listed as the biological father to blank son on Wikipedia? I blank that.
Is that on Wikipedia?
Apparently so.
Okay, so somebody take that down. That's nobody's business.
It's disrespectful is what it is. And it's just straight not true.
It's Rick to life saying stupid shit and people think it's funny.
Yeah.
Because the subject who is the actual biological father people like to make fun of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot of friends that break your skull, so I don't know if I would necessarily do that.
Well, just on a level here, it's like, I think it's disrespectful to all parties involved, most particularly the mother here. And it's sort of one of the uglier sides of things that you get in hardcore where it's like, yo, it might be games to you, but, this isn't a game to me, you know? I don't know. I just think it crosses a line there. So if you're one of those dudes, I would recommend going on Discogs and just changing people's pictures to funny shit instead of things that could actually hurt someone. Yeah. Like, really.
Right. Well, the flip side is,
by the way, before you start, am I still on your?
No, you're not. I think we're going to let you ride though, because last time you were recording the full time regardless. I think we're going to let you, ride. Unless it says like, hey, you're kicked the fuck out.
No, just a little connection to server, but I'm still there and I can see my stuff.
So, here's the thing. Also, if it was true, respect to that man. That's all I have to say about it.
PK always sleeping in the van. What if it's hot or cold? Does he bring girls back to the van? Pat, you want to? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Tour.
What if it's hot or cold?
If it's hot,
hot's not a problem for you at all. Yeah,
yeah, at all, at all. If it's cold, I will occasionally. If it's freezing, I will occasionally sleep indoors. For the most part, I just stack a bunch of clothes on my or a bunch of blankets on myself, sleeping bag, and maybe I wake up twice in the night. Think, damn, I'm cold. Oh, I guess I'll use this as an opportunity to piss. And then once I'm tired, there's not much keeping me awake. You know what I mean? So we're going to power through being cold and get some rest. So, and regarding bringing girls back, look, I know that there's plenty of men and women who have had a lot of sex in a lot of vans. I don't know shit about that. Nobody ever hit me and said, you're so damn attractive. Wish that you would just take me now in this van that smells like shit. You know what I mean? Nobody ever said that to me.
Not the best experience.
First, look, I'm sure there's people that are way into it, but not my crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there are people super into it.
Not the metalcore crowd too, by the way, just FYI.
I don't, no band have I gone on tour with, and it's not like I've been out on tour for a million years. There's certainly a lot of road dogs, but the boning in tour van thing is a lot more bluster than it is fact. So,
sure.
And I mean, look, there was more than one tour I was on in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, whenever, where boy, those text messages were saucy, and there was a lot of text message action trying to go down. But that resulted to like maybe like a hey, how's it going at the show, and often I mean whatever, like it's cool.
Yo, but kids are different now. Do you know what trade is?
No,
trade? I just learned. Yeah, trade, like you know, like rough trade or trade, whatever. The word trade, as in you know, we're trading spice for whatever. But so I just learned this, like the girls in New York that are like real spicy, like if they're just having a Tinder date over for sex, they call that dude trade. They'll just be like, to the roommates, they'll say, "Is it cool if I have somebody over tonight?" And they'll be like, sure. Should we clean up? And I'll be like, no, it's just Tinder trade. He'll be out by the morning. Or it's just skater trade. You know what I mean? So like kids are different now, man.
Fuck with it. That's cool. Good for them. They shouldn't be so hung up.
I'm glad somebody's having sex. Good for them.
Yeah, exactly. Will Bleep ever get canceled? Is threatening teens with a gun not enough? Again, not going to use the name. I don't know this story.
Neither do I.
All right, let's start with a big one. Do you think you should threaten teens with a gun?
No.
If it's a good story, fuck it.
Will that person ever get canceled? You know, I don't know. Are we going to get threatened with a gun if we talk about it too much?
Hard pass. Let's get out of here. these questions are just
we're getting some funny. We got some funny ones coming up. I like this.
Can we get the funny ones and not ones that I'm gonna have to like watch myself?
Well, the bleeped. That one I want to give the person extra credit because they had the let me start a Instagram account so I can ask this question level.
Oh wow, really wow. In the spirit of anonymity.
Yeah. So hey, bless up. What got the singer?
Hold on. Yep. Because I'm in a mood, can I say something?
Of course.
Not to get aggressive or tough here. I'm not trying to be gendered here, but if you are a grown man that starts fake accounts, there's cultural differences. I know a lot of young women that got fake, they are not fake, they call them finstas, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a dude that creates fake accounts for the purpose of like trolling or whatever, like, how do I touch on this without sounding like a caveman that thinks that, like, how do I get out of the prison of masculinity but still call somebody a pussy? How do I do that right now?
you tell them to grow the fuck up.
Grow the fuck up. Your immaturity is showing.
Yeah.
People who can have finstas, the previously discussed, and if you're a famous athlete or celebrity and you need to have something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like all right with it.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, KD, we all good.
Yeah.
What got the singer from Verse excommunicated from the scene? I don't think that's a fair question. Don't think he was. Don't think they were. Let me put it that way.
No. I mean, it wasn't like a straight edge thing or something, was it?
No, nah, dude, stop being straight edge, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
But I don't think they were
excommunicated. I think it's overstated.
They did.
I think there's
a lot of fishing for stuff. And if you want to fish for things, you can find a lake. But we'll get into stuff that's on paper later. So,
oh boy.
What's the line between one scene unity and economic monopoly?
Wow.
We're talking about the Come and Correct record? One scene unity. So I see that a lot. I think that's just, you know, I feel 1,000 years too old for everything when I see sloganeering in hardcore now. But I have to remind myself, I center myself and go, yo, like, I definitely wore many shirts that had something on. Yeah. And I think that's sloganeering. The idea of anybody trying to promote, like, hey, let's try to work together, let's try to build stuff, link and build, fam, etc. It's all good. Now, economic monopoly, I don't know if that's sort of a nodding at people not allowing other people to book shows or do bands or do a label. I don't know what that would mean, you know. But my feeling on that is that people should be able to do what they're going to do, and the healthiest version of hardcore or punk or whatever the fuck is one where many things can happen in different ways and by different people. If they can work in concert, cool. You know, like, nobody, I don't get the vibe that many people really want to step on toes, especially when it can hurt their bottom line. But if someone's actively out there trying to like monopolize something, I think that's poorly thought out.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what this person's driving at. It sounds like a local promoter beef that I don't have much say on.
Right. This is like they're trying to like, why don't you just say exactly what you're asking us and then we'll tell you. Like,
yo, whenever
I kind of get an idea of where the slogan's coming from and
yeah,
what that other thing means. But
I feel like Kramer on that episode of Seinfeld when he's being Mr.
Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you'd like to see?
Exactly. How good is that moment? I love that moment. Well, why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you'd like to see?
Brown Eyed Girl.
Playing at 7 o'clock. Who is the biggest poser band in hardcore? This is the energy I wanted.
Biggest poser band in
hardcore. Like, okay, are we being asked, is this the biggest group of posers in a band? Is this the biggest like band who's popular to posers? I don't, you know.
Oh, that's a good distinction.
Because I feel like it's kind of hard to delineate, like, you know, like, hey, this band that I don't think much of, like, I don't know your fucking hardcore bona fide. Like, sure. You could have every fucking hardcore record. How the hell do I know? Like,
or like, who the biggest? I do. This is all anonymous. The person who wrote that in, if you wrote it in for laughs, kudos. But that's the kind of question that I really remember the idea in being a 17 or 18 year old and be like, yo, they're a bunch of fucking posers, you know? And it's like,
I mean, I think some of the bigger like hardcore bands bring in front are, you know, like,
sure.
I feel like the last, I went to go see Sick of It All and AF at the Kingsland in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I felt like they were great. And, you know, like, I knew, like, but like at a hardcore show in Brooklyn and there's 300 people there, I didn't know like 75% of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, these people are all posers that only come to these types of shows.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code AXETOGRIND50, that's numeral 50, to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXETOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXETOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.
Like, I saw a Mind Force there a week later and not a lot of people there.
Right. No crossover. Yeah.
I feel like if you were a band who embraced the poser band title, you'd probably do quite well. Like we talk sure. about hardcore adjacent and all that. There's probably a time and a lineage of people who would call that shit poser shit because of the people that attracts, et cetera. But one person's poser is another's new fan. Or somebody who's more diverse in their musical taste. That's one of the bright sides to me of hardcore post 2010, probably, is that the diversity in sound and the diversity in one person's musical collection is more significant than I remember it being younger, and I think that's a good thing.
Sure.
Papa Roach, that's what I want to say.
Okay. Universal. I don't like Elvis.
Oh wow.
Well, the hero the most. All right.
In photos from the Last Youth of Today tour, Ray was X'd up. Or meh.
What's the premise here? That he's not or that he's this 58-year-old man that's ex. What's the angle?
Oh,
here?
That's right. They're talking about the last tour, like this recent.
Like in March or whatever.
Oh yeah. it made the photos more interesting for 14 seconds.
I mean, it's funny because, like, I know he's had a sordid past with his straight edgeness.
Right.
So, like, I'll be completely fucking transparent. One, I forget what show it was, but I went to go see Underdog.
Yeah.
And Richie X'd up. And I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Because this dude's still fucking straight edge, and he always was. Like, Civ was always straight. Like to a point, it's kind of like, ah, this is fucking cool. I love Shelter, and I love Youth Today. But sometimes it feels a little cosplay.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Here's my quick question for you. Are we sure that Richie was always straight edge?
I mean, no, of course not. I don't.
I've never followed him.
I don't follow him into every room he's at.
No, but, same deal. It's like if Ray Capo wants to X up, go for it. I would be willing to bet that that man has drank no beers in maybe ever.
No more.
Like I'm very curious. Like the big story, like when I first read this, I was thinking this was someone like dissecting 1989. We're not in this alone. Like Youth of Today's last tour photos and it being like, oh, remember that story? Because when they were in Europe on Break Down the Walls, he drank wine in Italy.
No, but I think they meant like when they played with.
No,
like,
you're totally right. That is exactly what they meant. Yeah. I don't know. I would love. Do you think there are 20-year-olds who are really, really could get heated about this? Because if I was 20, if this was 1999 and I'm 18 or 17, I could probably muster up some like real intense emotions on this, but I just can't right now.
Yeah, I think it would be hard to.
My thing is like the 19, 20 year olds of today.
Yeah.
Are not the same as the 19 to 20 year olds of our time.
No, definitely not.
Sure.
Like, you know, we were talking about like 10 Yard Fight having like the diss song on like, on Civ or on
Better Than a Thousand. Thing, yeah.
Blah, 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 like, no one's doing that now.
No
one's like offended by the, you know, these other motherfuckers anymore. They may beef amongst each other, but they're not like, you know, you let me down hardcore hero thing, you know?
Well, and that's so that I talked about getting meta on 10 Yard Fight. I'll do it right now. Why not? Fuck it. To me, when it came to it, it was like, all right, Minor Threat. Bands like 7 Seconds, Uniform Choice kind of put that the whole straight edge thing and like these ideas of the way to be and the way to act and the way to live, especially on that side of things, in the air. And then there were bands like Youth of Today and Chain of Strength and Gorilla Biscuits and all the Rev stuff, Bold, who catalyzed it, Judge, who catalyzed it into like a thing where it's like, hey, this is a thing. This is. To be straight edge, you have to be these things. These are important, and you should do this and that and this and that. And then the early 90s thing was kind of like the stretch out of that. Like, hey, that group who catalyzed this, that was our heroes, and we're the new wave, and we're gonna be the torchbearers. And then by the mid 90s, with a band like 10 Yard Fight, and then with the like late 90s stuff, Floor Punch in My Eyes. Was the where the previous generation had been torchbearers. These were the guys who were reactionary and saying, yo, that previous generation was full of shit. We're the real deal. And we're not going to bullshit around. Now, that's the naivete of a 17-year-old philosophy. Because it's just, you know, it doesn't feel that way in 2020. I don't see bands who are taking it that kind of energy. Like even the militancy of like Earth Crisis, you could tie that in same kind of thing with bands like 10 Yard Fight. There was a stronger line to it. Strife too. Sure. You know? And I don't see that. And I won't say that's good or bad. It's just very different. And I don't really feel a way other than to say that it is very different right now.
Mm.
You don't got anything else on that, Pat?
I mean, fuck it. Well, look, I don't know anybody's fucking deal. I know that if I'm
that's a little drunk band, right now.
No, I know if I'm in a straight edge band at age 55, I'm going to X up and somebody on the internet can suck my dick about it. I think Xing up is fun. If you're in a straight edge band, particularly, that's just dope. Who gives a shit?
What was the last time you X up at a show?
Oh, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. Because for my bands, it's not appropriate for either of my bands. You know what I mean? If I was in a straight edge band, I would be doing it with my fucking gray hair and the kids would be making fun of me on the online right now. But for my bands, it's like not like, you know, that there's plenty of straight edge members, but it's not our vibe.
Okay. So Tom first, then Pat, and then I'll give. What's your X look like on your hand? What kind of an X are you drawing, Tom?
I'm going fat X's. Usually need someone else to help me do them.
Do you do fat X like outline and then fill in, or just a couple lines?
Oh, that's
like
crazy.
I go a couple lines.
Okay. Yeah. If you do the fill in, I think it's almost like you better have the big pants and like Adidas with the three stripes, like to complete the look. You better be wearing a windbreaker for the whole thing. Yeah, Pat, your X's.
I'm a slender X man. Don't give me a Sharpie, but I'm a slender X guy.
You got to use a Magnum marker, but I'll usually go pretty thin.
Give me the chisel.
You know what you got to do if you're trying to draw a good X. You got to make your fist before you draw it on. If you have your fingers out, that X could look really weird. However,
yep,
give it a couple looks. You got to make sure that thing looks tight. If it looks bad, you're gonna be disappointed in those photos later, folks.
Fact.
Okay. This is interesting. There was two questions here. Why do some older dudes like to romanticize the old violent aspects of hardcore? I don't think that's an age thing.
No, I don't think that's an age thing at all. They know the stories, and they'll kind of be like, gather around the learning tree. Let me tell you about blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, why do old New Yorkers wish, like, all these kids from NYU, I wish they would still get their fucking Sony Walkman stolen from them. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah. And look, like, we dance that line to varying degrees. Bob, you are a bit more adamant because you and I think you're. I don't think you're wrong. You suppose that too much lingering on these things puts a positive shine on them, no matter how much people just say they want to be talking about it and it's not positive or negative.
Well, and yeah, like here's the deal. Who doesn't like the story of the Cro-Mags and Sheer Terror and the cinder block through the window?
And not a living human.
The proceeding. And who doesn't like some of this lore? And that lore ages and changes.
Right. And think about it. Like, I mean, I could say from my own personal experience, I have seen some insane shit.
Yes.
That I could like tell a fucking pedestrian and it'd be like, wait, what?
100%.
So, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily romanticizing it, but we put ourselves in places with psychopaths and felons that it just kind of engenders like a certain sort of like, you're going to see some shit.
Yeah.
I think it's a great, they make for great stories sometimes. You're like, and then this fun guy came over and fucking broke a brick over his head. Nothing happened. Like it's, you know, it's.
And the hard part is because, yeah, the stories are all good. They're all interesting. And, there's people who write books literally on these stories at this point. And that's cool. That's fine. But the problem is when the wrong person, and I won't belittle IQs here, but the wrong person gets the wrong idea and thinks that, oh, that's the way I gotta be. That's the way I wanna be. That's the way I should be. That's the way I have to be involved in this. And that's where the wires get crossed. Because,
right, exactly.
Because it's the difference between good stories and then people believing like they gotta bring it to life. Like no one's watching Game of Thrones and deciding to go get a longsword and start chopping heads. But I've heard stories of hardcore kids who all of a sudden are getting bricks, you know?
Yeah, it's really.
And so just use your head. You gotta keep that shit right. I'm looking at the Easter eggs for tomorrow. Cool. Look good. Are people mad about PC?
You say you're working on Easter eggs for tomorrow?
No, Amanda just brought in the Easter. Oh, she loves Easter. Loves Easter. So happy Easter, people who care about that. I don't care about it other than I love egg hunts. I love them.
Wow.
Think it's so cool. If
you like egg hunts?
The single, cool, very cool. I got to ask Sean from Sunstrokes, like, this is good lore. He's like, do you think the story of them putting that out so that they could put Uniform Choice on blast for ripping that off? Do you know about this?
No.
So the Egg Hunt single, one of the songs on there has some lyrics that Uniform Choice basically lifted and used on Scream for Change on the album. I can't remember what song. But the rumor, the lore was that Discord released the Egg Hunt single. It was, you know, it was just a couple songs that circulated via cassette to friends and well-wishers until they did that way after the fact. But it was kind of like a, hey.
Like, we got you.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, that was a particularly clever line, but it came from over here.
Hmm. Oh, that's pretty funny. Now, Mouthpiece apparently used to open.
With Impact. This,
yeah, yes. Before it was on anything. Right?
100%. Yeah, they used to use that as an intro. And it was sort of a nod, a wink and nod. Like, it wasn't like they were trying to pitch it off as their own.
As their own, right.
They never recorded it or anything, but it was like, hey, we're doing this. We're doing the Chain of Strength intro because that's what it was. It never had lyrics, but they used to play it live. So it was like, it was essentially covering the intro. Okay. But yeah, Egg Hunts. Shout out Egg Hunts. Are people mad about PC culture, or are they just salty they can't be offensive anymore? So let me say it again. Are people mad about PC culture, or are they just salty they can't be offensive anymore?
Can I jump on this one?
See you later.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Can I get in on this, guys?
Let's go. Pat.
Those two things aren't mutually exclusive. I'm mad about both.
Yeah, I think it could be both.
I have a question for you guys that came up in my conversation with Mike Lawson and Nick Anders today. Mike was knee deep in a back-to-back featurette of watching The Birdcage and then what is it? Here's to You, Wong Fu.
So Long.
Yeah, right.
To Wong Fu, yeah.
To Wong Fu, right.
Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar.
Yeah. And we were discussing it, and it was like, some of the Wong Fu movie might not roll easily in 2020. And I came to the question, do you think they could make Mrs. Doubtfire or release it as is in 2020?
Thought about this last night. Thought about this last night.
You on the wavelength, my man.
Yeah, weird that we're on this vibe. This crossed my mind last night. No, I do not.
You know what else couldn't be made in 2020?
What's that?
Soul Man.
White Chicks. Oh, Soul Man, White Chicks, sure, yeah.
I mean,
what else?
But like, here's the thing. Mrs. Doubtfire, I think that's a movie that a lot of like sub third grade age children have seen. And I think... You guys think that's a funny movie?
I haven't seen it forever.
Robin Williams is not that funny to me.
Wow. Well, outside of this room, apparently. But
hot takes.
Yeah, that's a hot one. That's spicier than any question we got, except for a couple of those ones we had to bleep. That's a funny movie to me, but I get it.
Inherently, though?
That's the hard part. There's certain items of comedy that I can't think of, like I haven't watched it in the last year, you know, or 2 years, or maybe 3 years. But I'm curious about it.
So let me offer something. Comedy doesn't age well. It's not supposed to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not its purpose. You're not supposed to be laughing at Laurel and Hardy in 2020. You know what I mean? It's there for a good time, not a long time. Like, if you try introducing like a 22-year-old to something that you thought was hilarious when you were 22, it's not going to fly. They might appreciate it on some level, but like, I mean, look at Scary Movie 2. Mm-hmm. Scary Movie 2 is the height of comedy. It's the most brilliant thing I've ever seen in my life. And nobody under fucking 35 would even giggle. You know what I mean?
So, well, no, like, and you think about
wrapped up in the movies too, though.
Let's show a 22-year-old The Jerk or Caddyshack. There's bits. There's some shit that they'll roll with. Maybe this is our challenge: is Axe to Grind Overtime Challenge is name timeless comedies.
Because I was talking about this with a buddy the other day. The Hangover.
Yeah.
That wasn't that long ago.
No.
They say the F word within the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yes.
Also, Old School says the F word within the third line of the movie.
And lots of humor that alludes to it in a way that's like, I don't know if that passes right now.
I mean, think about I've watched Friends. I enjoy Friends. There are definitely jokes in there. Don't hold this against me, Pat. I can hear the derision in your fucking
You heard
voice.
The judgment?
Yeah, I don't know. This dude was thinking, this dude spent his Friday night like, I wonder if Mrs. Doubtfire could happen in 2020. So fuck this.
I just did it on a Saturday morning.
But like, I think like even then there were jokes about like, you know, Chandler might be gay and then him being like, I'm not gay. And like, that was like comedy for someone to be like, no, not me. But you know, like that was supposed to be funny.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, exactly. Seinfeld did it too.
Comedy. I hate saying supposed to, but comedy, is supposed to reflect the anxieties of the time. And anybody that doesn't recognize that those change dramatically and that it's often positive that they change, occasionally not good that they change. I'm always a stickler on this, that when we see progress as a purely linear thing, we're making a mistake. Yes. But when you're not supposed to share the anxieties of somebody in 1930. You're not supposed to share the anxieties of these things are not timeless. I really don't think that there is such a thing as a timeless comedy, even if I think that there's, like you said, there's bits that people could definitely appreciate, you know, but I really think that we make a mistake. We're precious about things that aren't meant to be precious. The Hangover is not meant to exist forever in the same format that we enjoyed it. It's supposed to, like, and this is the thing for me with music. I'm guilty of this with music. I don't want disposable trash ass music. But then when you run into people that like are at a wedding and something comes on and they go, this is my jam. And they're dancing into Who Let the Dogs Out or whatever the fuck. You're like, oh, you know what? this brings this person joy because it reminds them of when they were 15. You know what I mean?
If you purely connect to comedy or really media from a very specific time that you had no connection to, no nostalgia, no reverence, no nothing, that's okay, but know that there's you're vibing on a different wavelength, you know what I mean? And that's okay. Like
it's fully okay. I really like, I love those crime movies from the 70s. Like, I love them. And I could watch those all day, but like, yo, that's before my birth. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, I wasn't, I don't share, like, Death Wish, the movie, like, I'd be lying if I said I shared any of those anxieties. My family, my family was in Albany way before my birth. You know what I mean? Yes. My mother can watch Death Wish and go, oh yeah, I remember when it was just normal to get assaulted on the train. You know what I mean?
Right. There's the hyper specificity of something, but even like the idea of that is foreign to you. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like my version of that was. It's like, you're going to have to stretch pretty hard to get there.
Right. But I enjoy it. And some people, like, I've known women who are technically too young to enjoy. They wouldn't be in the demographic to enjoy Woody Allen movies, but they love them. I know people that love Harold and Maude, which I think actually predate, it might be, that might
Harold and Maude's like 69. Harold and Maude's old, man.
So I'm not here to tell anybody that they can't enjoy something from a certain era, but I'm just saying that if you are judging something from a certain era and saying like, this isn't funny, it shouldn't be funny to you. You know what I mean? Like, Like, it's not like that's not the only measure here. It existed for the time that it existed for.
All right, Tom, we still got you?
I'm still here.
Okay, good, good, good.
I was just going inside to put them.
Yeah, yeah. Understandable.
All right. Would you?
It is shocking though to see those things now, like in today's lens. It doesn't make it like I still like 40-year-old virgin, but there's that whole scene that it's like, wow, like this wasn't that long ago, and you're like, how do I know you're gay? Like that's.
Oh, I mean, Tom, this is a good one. Think about this. Think about The Office. There's like the first two or three seasons of that. There's an awful lot of slightly off color or full blown off color, like jokes about homosexuality, et cetera, et cetera. You know,
but I think that was there to reinforce Michael being an idiot.
Agree, but it's still like this thing that I don't know if they would even put that in now.
No, it's true. And like,
and that's still one of those shows that's on regular rotation for people who watch Netflix, you know?
Right. And there's no way to edit that. Like, while bands that used to say that stuff in their lyrics in 1987, mm-hmm. when they play those songs now, they have the chance to rectify.
Oh, I mean, not all. Yeah, think about Paramore editing Misery Business. You know what I mean? And I think they straight up don't play it now.
They changed it because it's got like something about being a slut or something.
Once a whore, you're nothing more. There you go. Which I get it, man. You know, it's tough. Cool. All right, moving forward. I don't like wrestling, comics, anime, and collecting toys or whatever. Am I a normie?
No.
Nah, but I'd have to investigate further. You're at least on course.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not. Explore fiction, my friend, is my suggestion to you. Would you rather listen to any band on Toxic State or die from coronavirus? Sounds like someone's got a problem with Toxic State Records.
I couldn't even tell you who's on Toxic State. So
that was my first reaction. So I looked it up. Toxic State actually released a lot of different stuff. The Pinocchio 7-inch that the EP we played, New York band, quite good. I actually really fuck with that record. If you haven't heard it, you should. They put out Crazy Spirit. They put out Lotion. That doesn't do anything for me.
No, I tried to like that and I didn't.
They put out the Thriller 7-inch in 2007. That's not a Thriller that I'm familiar with. They put out Flesh Temple. They put out the Hank Wood and the Hammerheads, a couple of their records.
I'd rather listen to that than have it. To
coronavirus? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good. Nah, I'll take the Corona.
You like that Pinocchio band, actually, so.
I know, but I just want to get this Corona thing over with so people can shut the fuck up.
All right. For the new generation of hardcore kids, are bands like Judge, Gorilla Biscuits, and Madball relevant?
I'm going strong. Nope. But that doesn't mean I feel like that's how it should be. And it doesn't mean that that's how it'll stay. It'll continue. I think that, look, the fact that those bands have stayed visible enough is a detriment to those bands being loved by kids at the moment. If those bands had were still disappeared, or in Madball's case, disappeared at all, mm-hmm. there'd be kids that would be think about how fucking much allure Madball has. Like, it's an endless amount of fucking allure. And if they had stopped putting out records 10 years ago, the kids that are always seeking out the influence to be like whatever cool influence they can dig up would be jocking Madball like insane people right now. Like, it'd be the ball hugging would be extreme. But because Madball has continued to work the entire time.
And as we've pointed out on Year in Hardcore, like 2010 or something, listens, still put out records that are very listenable.
Yeah, for sure. But that doesn't, it's like Sick of It All. It's like Sick of It All is fucking, when I saw them 2 years ago or last year, whenever the fuck it was, they were exceptionally good. They were so much better than a lot of young hardcore acts that should have more energy than them. But the fact is that like kids want things that are either mysterious and hidden and arcane and that they can claim for their own because they dug it up, or they want something that is of their era. You know what I mean? And that's just what it is.
Relevant is the key word. I'm going to have a hard time putting that on any of them. That doesn't mean that people don't love or appreciate them. Okay. Sure. Real question is, what is the appeal of Three Knee Deep heavy mosh riffs, bro?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Yeah.
It's hard and it's current. And these are young people too, you know, just to kind of go off that. This is a band that people are feeling, and it's a new thing and they can own it. And especially a band from Tampa. Name all the Tampa hardcore bands you can that have done anything to the level of Three Knee Deep off the top of your head. And if you can't name 10, then all right.
I mean, they headlined a festival, so.
All right. What's the full story with Izak and Dwid? You should listen to Diablo's Den podcast and ask yes. over there.
Yeah, it's a good story.
How about Bleeding Through, Killswitch Engage, bands like that? Thoughts? That's not a continuation of the question, separate one. So do we want to give what's this full story with Izak and Bleeding Through? Izak and Killswitch Engage? Bands like that. Bleeding Through, thoughts? Never did a thing for me musically.
Tom thinks they're cool enough dudes and have a couple riffs. I can't find anything redeeming about them, despite being adjacent to things that I do like, and like there should be something there for me to dig my teeth into. Just can't. Killswitch Engage, I literally can't make sense of. That's just a different type of thing. I'm not hateful of it. I just don't get it.
I fuck with both bands.
Tom, help me with this.
Yes.
It's cool. Average Killswitch Engage fan.
Yeah.
Are they more likely to like Hatebreed or Lamb of God?
Lamb of God.
Okay. That's for sure.
They're not like hardcore adjacent. They're like straight up metalcore. Yeah. Like they're metal.
Metal.
But they're like metalcore, like not what we consider metalcore.
Yeah, they're like metalcore from
hardcore.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all hardcore kids. Yeah. And Mike Dick's an Overcast and Jesse's a hardcore kid, but like, yeah.
Why are the Cro-Mags so popularized? I understand the impact, but recordings were ass. Wow. Patrick sent this from his Finsta.
I got my Finsta. Yes, it's me.
Are you telling me you don't listen to the recording in 1986 of Age of Quarrel, and you think that recording is ass? I don't know what to tell you.
Hold on. I'm not taking this position at all. I'm just trying to defend this kid if he's of a certain age where where anything that doesn't have a modern recording is ass to this person. That's possible.
Yeah, very possible. I've heard people say that they can't listen to the Bad Brains because the recordings are too bad.
Whoa
is right. Why are they so popularized? You understand the impact. Okay. To me, the recording for Age of Quarrel, the album, is just perfect for that style, for the style of music. I don't think their recordings after that, like Best Wishes, sounds really good to me. I don't really care about the recordings after that, but they all range from good enough to whatever. So that might be something for you. There was a time when Cro-Mag's lore was also really cool and not just annoying.
Yeah, and we've talked about that. We've talked about that tipping point. I'm the only person that still enjoys Cro-Mag's lore, and I don't enjoy Cro-Mag's. And I'm the only. I'm seriously. Everybody is over it except for me. Where I'm like, man. I wonder how many times a day they think about each other. You know what I mean? Like I'm actually reflecting on it, and other people just don't give a fuck anymore.
The wind in the air that I've been told is that the members of that band who have significant issues live within like 5 to 10 blocks of each other.
You go punch each other, man. Just get it over with.
I hope they secretly grab coffee. Like this is much the way nice. I brought up that Daryl Jennifer alternate reality where you guys had like this rollicking good time, shared root beers, and like had a stealth v indecision pinball tournament.
You think JJ and Harley just like
JJ, meet up and it's like it's sort of like he's got a secret. It's like they have each other in their phone under a pseudonym. Yeah,
I know what it is.
Yeah,
it's the end. It's the end of the Rocky movie where Apollo and Rocky are joking about, I could have taken you. And then they box in secret, just the two of them.
Oh, that's such a good moment.
Is that when they wear the cups outside their pants?
That sounds right.
They wear the cups outside their shorts.
Superman style. I think, to me, it's this. Harley leaving the gym one day, opens his phone, goes to his contacts, scrolls down. Todd Hyman. Shoots a text over. Jay, I'm free tonight. What you doing? John Joseph opens his phone.
Filming hospitals to show that they're empty. Oh, sorry.
Phil Wisluski pops in his text and he goes, oh, me too. Want to hit the spot? They go to that one of those weird little diners on the east side, or no, on the west side, way over, and chill and just kick it, talk normal shit. And yeah, like if we want to have the, like, yo, gym's open, cool, race you there. Boom. End scene, fun music. There we go. It's all been a put on, all kayfabe.
Love it.
Oh, okay. Here's some fucking, Heat. Why is Hatebreed so incredibly overrated? Monster Energy hat and bandana, hardcore ass band.
Okay, look, this person's just, stop. We're not validating this. This person is just trying to get a rise. Here's the deal. Hatebreed is 100% that. I don't give a fuck. That's true. But they also put out, I would say, 1.5 of the best hardcore records of all time. So what are you going to do?
I don't think that, but they're not overrated. They are very popular. And
I mean, they've pivoted into the Monster Energy drink crowd, but those you can't really fuck with. Under the Knife, Satisfaction and Perseverance are all pretty good.
Perseverance, keep cashing them checks. Mm. Freddie Madball has a rap album and it's not embarrassing. Any idea what the story is there? No, I don't. I don't know anything about it. But they're saying it's not embarrassing.
No, it's good. I actually want to go see them. Go see him.
Sick. Listening party coming soon.
And Knitting Factory is good.
We only got this question once, and I was so ready for it to come in like 14 times. What are your opinions on hardcore crews? Do they serve a purpose in today's scene?
Well, opinion is shrug, and answer is no.
Broken. I can't.
Oh yeah, hold on. We lost Tom on this one. Patrick's answer is the same as mine. Hey Tom, did we catch you back?
I didn't catch that question. What was that? Hatebreed? Nah, great.
Okay, yeah. I think
Tom is the World Health Organization guy answering about Taiwan. You know, he's like, what?
Oh, how fucked up was that video? Oh my God.
For anybody that's in the sound of my voice who thinks that it is some racist conspiracy to say that the World Health Organization is in the pocket of the Chinese, go watch the video. It's very fucking telling.
Yo, really fucking crazy. Never dug into Agnostic Front or Youth of Today as a young person, and now I find it hard to fully get when revisiting. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, happens.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Without straight edge, veganism, and DIY, are we just juggalos?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Pretty close.
Without the makeup. Yeah.
Sometimes with, who knows, bleeding through.
Sometimes I've seen Black Anvil.
When will Axe to Grind do a deep dive on Canadian HXC? Hell, not even a deep dive, but a passing, and I'm sure they were typing more.
I like Comeback Kid.
You can get a passing nod.
We've talked about
we can do all the Chris Callahan bands.
Yeah, we've talked about Fucked Up a lot more than a lot of people would want, maybe. We've talked about Chris Callahan bands. We've talked about, you know, like, check out the band Stepping Stone. Check out the band Mortality Rate. I think we've talked a little bit about the Vancouver scene of past. Go It Alone, great band. Check out Punitive Damage. Tom has told his Vancouver story many times. We talked about the Sons of Ishmael, Hayseed Hardcore record.
Have we talked about DOA?
I would, if you want me to talk about Inepsy more, I will. If you want me to talk about the Omegas more, I will.
I think DOA is hard to talk about because there's not a ton of tracks. It's like,
I agree.
Like There's a reason that of the very early bands all of them deserve our respect. There's a reason why some of them get bumped a lot more in our headphones than others.
And DOA deserves some credit for the early DIY touring paths. I think even Black Flags noted that.
And hardcore
for sure.
That's their biggest thing is that they named the scene.
I love Career Suicide, and there's a lot of other stuff we could talk about. But when people do this, when will you do a deep dive? It's like, just chill. Look for it. Give us some things to talk about more than when is this happening? Come on. I'm not mad at you for that. I hope you, but just listen a little more and you'll probably hear what you're looking for. Why does anyone stand Code Orange? I recommended Code Orange to someone today.
I think although I'm a total poser because I haven't listened to the new record still.
My next door neighbor, who's a grown man with children, told me that he really likes Hatebreed, but also one of his favorite bands of all time is Nine Inch Nails. And I was like, oh, let's check out this band, Code Orange.
I have a band for you.
Literally.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's the perfect. Yeah.
Here's what I'll answer. They have a sensibility that's clearly defined. It's not for everybody, but obviously if you have a sensibility, you are going to have fans. That's enough.
Best Asian hardcore band.
The Geeks.
Bastard. Yeah, they're pretty good. A lot of Japanese hardcore that's very good.
Yeah.
It's all fast. It's all fast though until Summer of Hate crowd always.
Have you ever checked out Paintbox?
No.
Okay. They're not it's still fast, but it's really eclectic. And like at parts reminds me of more Italian stuff than Japanese. I would recommend it. If the all fast is too much, check out Paintbox.
Do we include Envy in there?
Yeah, sure. Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, this is a good one to include.
And I was also going to give a shout out to, I know we've got listeners in Indonesia and places like that where there's like pretty vibrant screamo scenes. It's just not the style of music that like jumps out to me. So I can't really big up anything necessarily, but the stuff I really like is few and far between, because I think that the fast stuff doesn't naturally appeal to me. And the kind of Summer of Hate, like thuggish beat downish sort of stuff, isn't bad coming out of Japan. It just doesn't necessarily stand out, to me any more than the German stuff or any more than the Midwest stuff right now. So I don't have a ton.
Do you fuck with Sand at all?
I do. I do, but
I think they're like the top of the heap of some of that stuff.
I was going to say that's probably on the best of the, and I call that stuff Summer of Hate stuff, but obviously, you know, it's got a broader appeal than that, but that's always how I see that stuff in my head.
Yeah. Shout out from me also to, Nightmare. I love Nightmare, and Disclose is a real fun record to put on with anyone into hardcore. It's a test. I want to give a big shout out to one of our listeners, Vishal, who is in the band neckdeepinfilth.bandcamp.com, Kathmandu, Nepal hardcore.
That's fucking cool.
Really cool.
That is cool.
And it's actually pretty damn good. So I want to include them on a listening party sooner rather than later. But yeah, Neck Deep in Filth from Kathmandu, Nepal. Very cool.
All right. This is an overtime that's now going into regular episode length. Can you close us out on something spicy? Yeah, triple overtime.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, that's good. People, this is for the people. This is for the culture, you know? What's the real story behind Expire's demise? Dude did something bad. It was painted all over the internet, and you can still find it because it's not that old, and the band called it a day.
Yeah.
There's two at the very top, and I'm going to answer these two. We're going to do these two. What would the reaction be to a Champion reunion?
Not good.
Not good. Listen. I would bet all of the money that everyone on this call has against that happening with a original lineup.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's space for it in any kind of setting or any sort of lineup.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Honestly, because like I feel like Singer, obviously, all that shit, and then it's like nobody, no one's listened to them since.
You never know. There's always somebody. Here's what I'll say about all that shit. Some of the bands that are quote unquote canceled, you're going to see back in the next couple years. Like people that seem to know a thing or two tell me that Brand New is on Short Time now. But other bands are not going to do that, regardless of how much somebody might want it or not. It's Champion is one of those. You're not going to see a reunion.
No.
All right, last one, guys. And it didn't come from Mike Lawson, but it certainly is non-core. X of 5 years, currently shacking up with ex-best friend in the house we shopped for. Hell.
Fuck.
Can I repeat that?
Ex-partner of 5 years, currently shacking up with ex-best friend in the house we shopped for. ... Help? Question mark. Okay.
I can help.
Let's give it real.
Okay. Your reality now is not your reality a year from now. A friend of mine, his girl cheated on him, left him for the guy that she was cheating with, and he attended their wedding. And the reason for that is because if your partner's happiness is important to you, then over time you will get over your angry feelings. And if she is actually, or he is actually happy with this new person, and that's the thing that lasts, you're going to let go of all that anger because you're going to say, well, what can you say? Obviously true love. You know what I mean? So you're going to get over it. However, if they're together for fucking 6 weeks and it was just a fuck-a-thon at your expense, then you're going to probably punch this dude in the nose when you see him on the street. To that end, I suggest doing burpees every day, working on your hands, and putting up some real weight.
When you said burpees, I thought you meant Kugels, but that's cool.
Do some Kegels.
Kegels, there we go. Tom, do you have any advice on this one?
Nothing legal.
My advice. I like everything that's been said, including Tom's. However, do you feel like you're in good shape? Are you interesting? Do you like yourself? Are you confident?
Do you own any of that house?
Do you feel comfortable in your other aspects of life? If you don't, work on those. You will feel happier and you will find something better suited for you. I don't, you know, who knows if this was a better human, but work on that stuff. Enjoy yourself. And, this too shall pass.
Fact.
Or, you know, have sex on their porch.
I mean, I think that might be part of it too. Perseverance.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but don't create fake accounts. Don't leave shit on anybody's step. If don't wait for him to leave his house and assault him. You know what? I personally think it's totally okay to throw a punch when you see somebody that is put you in that state of mind. I don't think I've been schooled on this. It's not good to perseverate or stalk them. So just keep it out of your mind. And if you see that person, you see that person. That's all there is.
I was with a younger friend who had been in a relationship and it had recently ended, but he was still following him on social media, sees him with someone else. And that threw this person into a tailspin. Sucked. Took a lot of energy out of him. And I felt remiss in my abilities to communicate it because my only thing to say was, hey, full disconnect. You got to shut that off. You can't sit in there. It's just not good for you. It's not going to let you move forward. That stuff, everything mentioned here, super ugly. But
life goes on. Yeah. Man.
Make your story not involve theirs, because theirs doesn't involve you.
But it's also okay, people that avoid the shit at all costs, you got to just work through it. You're going to be unhappy. You're just going to be unhappy for fucking a couple months. It's going to be like breaking your leg. You break your leg, you can't walk for a couple months. Your girl fucks some fucking friend of yours, you're going to be unhappy for a couple months. It is what it is, but you just can't, in the same way that if you break your leg, you can't hobble around for the remainder of your life. You know what I mean? Like, same thing here. Like, you know.
Yeah, if he's a hardcore kid or whatever, just make him feel uncomfortable at a show. There you go. Pat's trying to take the high road. This is where he takes the high road.
Of all things.
When feelings are involved. Everything else is like, so what? You can say fucking dirty words in the 80s. So what? They said the F-bomb. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. It's comedy. You don't get it. Like, he's fucking Henny Youngman over here.
When the feelings don't get hurt, they get murdered.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and then with him, he's like, just move on, man. Just, you know, burn through fucking sage and just, you know. Like, no, fuck that. Make that dude feel man uncomfortable, because if he did you dirty, he should feel uncomfortable.
And this is Hardcore Love.
I mean, thanks
for joining us.
I have said kill him. Well, okay, all right, goodbye, everybody.